Hi, this is Mike McNamara, and you're listening to All Marine Radio on your home for it, the one and only All Warrior Radio Network.
Day of October. Welcome to All Marine Radio. Hope you're doing good. So the more I watch, right, the more I observe the world that we live in, I think the more head-scratching it is to me. And I see things that I don't know that I've seen as in my life. And, my perspective would be, it doesn't matter if you're a Republican or a Democrat, a liberal, conservative, however you color yourself. You know, there's certain things that in the United States are important. And it seems like those things are eroding. And I find it amazing to watch. I haven't watched Tucker Carlson in a long time. I saw in the news that his segment with that Bobulewski guy was, I believe, the most watched hour of cable news ever, if I'm not mistaken. So anyway, I saw a story that said that they had been delivered documents, and he said it was a pretty normal occurrence about people that, you know, somebody wants to investigate them to take a look at. Hey, look at this. Well, these documents concern Hunter Biden. Now, Jeff Kinney made the point about one of the things that would happen in Iraq was that the Iraqis would rat each other out to us, and they would do that to their enemies or somebody who wronged them, and they would say, yeah, they're Al-Qaeda, they're helping these guys, right? And they would hopefully sick us on their friends. And so Jeff pointed out the danger and that kind of stuff yesterday. And so, if you didn't listen to yesterday's Lynch, Kenny, Costantini hour, it's very good. And I say that, though I listened to all of them. Yesterday's, I thought, was really good. So they have their producer overnight the documents because Tucker Carlson and his lead producer were in Los Angeles interviewing this Bob Ulinski guy, or however you say his name. I might be screwing it up. Anyway, the contents of the package go missing after he delivers a package to UPS. Right? And so they contact UPS and they say, what happened? Well, we have the envelope, but the contents inside it are gone. Like, what? So evidently UPS conducts their own little internal investigation, and they find nothing originally. Then lo and behold, sometime yesterday, they find a thumb drive that had documents on it. Nothing else. So they ask for the envelope and the thumb drive. And they say, yeah, we threw the envelope away. Now, I have to tell you something. You know, when you're doing security and you're investigating fraud or theft or maybe even a crime, you don't throw that kind of stuff away. But that's what UPS said they did. And they said they're essentially done with this deal. And so I saw one of the things that Tucker Carlson said concerned him was that somebody's, right, either eavesdropping or tapped into the communications of my program. And they actioned that intelligence to go grab those documents. Now, they had made copies of them. And honestly, I'm not sure why they would overnight the documents. Why wouldn't you just scan them, right? Load them up into a folder in the cloud and tell them to download them. But I'm sure they had their reasons. Anyhow, but think about that. And my question is, do you believe in coincidences? Now, imagine if those were Donald Trump's tax documents being mailed or sent to the New York Times. Imagine the hue and cry that would come of that type of nefarious activity. But it's accepted now and not widely reported because doesn't fit the narrative of the majority of our media. And so, again, watching this thing where the media has taken a side and then censors what is supposed to be the free speech of people. And you're watching that on a daily basis. The head of Customs and Border Patrol got his Twitter account suspended for saying, walls work. We built 400 and some odd miles of them. Building more today. You know, look at any country that has built walls. They make a difference. Blah, blah, blah. Got his Twitter account suspended for that. And then later, Twitter says what they tend to say, which is, oh, we made a mistake. When in reality, it's not a mistake at all. It's the intent to subvert a portion of the country and their free speech. Now, again, here's the thing. Does that upset, right? I go back to my quote. Does that upset people that are liberals that don't agree with the point of view? Well, the answer to that is no, it doesn't. Why? Because It doesn't impact their side of the belief, you know, ledger. So screw what happens to somebody else. Now, I have this quote. Just as I say that, no, I can't find it. I know it's here. Oh my God, it's not. I'm not happy. Oh, here it is. They came for the communists, and I didn't speak up because I wasn't a communist. Then they came for the Jews, and I didn't speak up because I wasn't a Jew. Then they came for the trade unionists, and I didn't speak up because I wasn't a trade unionist. Then they came for the Catholics, and I didn't speak up because I was a Protestant. Then they came for me, and by that time there was no one left to speak up. Now, that's a quote that was reconstructed from a speech that Martin Niemöller gave. He was a Protestant. He was a Lutheran pastor in Germany, right? And he gave that speech, I want to say, in 1945, 1946. Nobody recorded the speech. But the quote was published kind of in a general form and became very popular, as you can see. And so, to me, it's astounding. And then the other thing that happened yesterday, and you know, this is how you gather information in your life, right? So you see people that break squelch. They write things that are atypical. So a conservative writing a column that lauds a liberal idea, right, talks about the merit of a liberal idea or something like that. To me, that breaks squelch. That gets my interest. That person obviously stepping out of the mold they're supposed to stay in. What are they saying? Who is this person? And so that's how I find writers that I find intriguing. So one of the people that I follow is Glenn Greenwald. He's famous for his participation in the Edward Snowden thing. He founded a website called The Intercept, which would be dedicated to complete freedom for journalism. So he resigned yesterday from the organization that he founded. I want you to hear, this is about 7-minute interview last night. This is a conversation between Tucker Carlson and Glenn Greenwald. But again, this whole debate is only viewed through the lens of political power. It's not viewed through the lens of we are corrupting the very institutions that are supposed to be the guardians of all of our freedoms. And that's where this thing is headed for. And if you haven't watched the social media, it is fueled by social media companies that are doing it for profit. So this is that conversation from last night.
Glenn Greenwald has thought a lot about that question. Greenwald is a traditional leftist. He's committed above all to forcing transparency on people who hold power.
Yeah, just for the record, Greenwald's a liberal. He's a lefty.
Years ago, Greenwald co-founded a news site called The Intercept. Today he resigned. In a statement, Greenwald explained why. Quote, "The Intercept's editors, in violation of my contractual right of editorial freedom, censored an article I wrote this week, refusing to publish it unless I removed all sections critical of Democratic presidential candidate Joe Biden, the candidate vehemently supported by all New York-based Intercept editors involved in this effort at suppression." And he went on. Greenwald's full statement is up tonight at an internet platform called Substack, which is not yet censored. No matter who you plan to vote for next week, we recommend that you read it. Glenn Greenwald joins us tonight. Glenn, thanks so much for coming on. The idea of you resigning from a news organization you helped found is stunning. Tell us why you did.
Well, the news organization that I co-created was in 2013 at the height of the Snowden reporting. I left The Guardian to do it because I was seeing that there were a lot of constraints imposed on journalism and their ability, our ability to report freely against governments, against power centers, against all kinds of institutions that wield authority. And the premise of the news outlet, the core overarching premise, the reason it was created, was to ensure that journalists would always have complete journalistic independence and editorial freedom, never have to pull punches journalistically or pay homage to pieties because of the preferences, the partisan or ideological preferences of editors or of anybody else. That was the core founding idea and vision. And then that is what makes it so amazing that at the very outlet that I co-created, that was built on my reputation, my credibility, my journalistic accomplishments, then tried to intervene to censor me 6 days before an election because I wanted to publish reporting and analysis about the evidence that raises serious questions about the conduct of the candidate that all of the editors at that outlet vehemently and enthusiastically support.
I would imagine that some of our viewers don't read The Intercept. You live outside our country, which is one of the reasons I think you say what you think is true. Tell us what this portends for the future here in the United States.
So The Intercept was actually for a while a unique publication, and I think the vision I just described is one reason, but another was that it was intended above all else to be highly skeptical of the yes. claims of intelligence agencies. At the time when we were doing the reporting, the attacks were coming from the NSA, the CIA, the deep state against me, against my source Edward Snowden, and against the reporting. And we knew they were lying constantly and disseminating propaganda in a very powerful way. So we set out to say, we're going to investigate them. We're going to be skeptical of them. We're going to subject their assertions to critical scrutiny. And I am so embarrassed and angered that the media outlet that I created, along with two other excellent journalists to do that, the only article it published about all of these documents that have emerged about Joe Biden, other than a column of mine where I denounced Facebook and Twitter for censoring it, was an article that made reference in passing to those documents very snidely and dismissively to say that no one should pay attention to it because it was Russian disinformation, and it cited a letter from John Brennan, James Clapper, Mike Hayden, and the rest of the goons from the CIA and the intelligence community asserting it. And worse still, that letter said, we have no evidence that Russia's involved in any of this. The Intercept omitted that phrase, simply cited that letter to try and encourage people to ignore this evidence on the grounds that Russia had manufactured it and that the evidence was fabricated, even though there's never been any evidence for that, that that's been true. And everything since has disproven it, showing Russia was not involved in any of this. And nobody, certainly not even Joe Biden, disputes that these emails are, and other text messages are completely real and authentic.
That's amazing, right? So he goes back to his days when Edward Snowden, right, when he took all that information and he went to Hong Kong and Snowden goes to Hong Kong and then he and then this information begins to leak out and the pushback is from the Brennan Clapper, right, part of the government calling Snowden a liar. Now, Greenwald has seen the documents and he knows they're lying, which to me is that part of the gig to stand up in front of the world and lie? So again, so you have the same people that have said the same things now, and you're looking at censorship. They said them about, these are the same people that have given life to the whole Russian collusion thing from the 2016 election. They've gone on TV repeatedly and said things that under oath they said, yeah, I don't have any proof of that. So it's honestly extremely disturbing stuff.
It's horrifying. So what you're watching is agencies of the U.S. government turning their awesome and unconstrained powers against the American population.
This is the real story of the last 4 years of the Trump administration, which is that for a long time on the left.
No, again, before he says anything else, he's a liberal. He's a lefty. He's not a right-wing conservative dude, okay? That's who Glenn Greenwald is.
There was a healthy skepticism of the CIA.
Yes, there was.
There was a lot of anti-war activism in the Bush and Cheney years. That has all disappeared. And the reason it's disappeared is because the CIA, from the very first days of the Trump administration, even before he was inaugurated, devoted themselves to sabotaging the administration because Donald Trump questioned just a few of their pieties. And that can't be done in Washington. Whoever does that must be destroyed. And so the CIA and the deep state operatives became heroes of the liberal left, the people who support the Democratic Party. They're now now in a full union with the neocons, the Bush-Cheney operatives, the CIA, Silicon Valley, and Wall Street. That is the union of power, along with mainstream media outlets that are fully behind the Democratic Party, which is likely to at least take over one branch of government, if not all of them, in the coming election. And that is a very alarming proposition because they're authoritarian, they believe in censorship, and they believe in suppression of information that exposes them in any kind of a critical light.
He's a lefty. That shouldn't be lost on anybody. He's not a conservative guy saying this shit.
For a U.S. government agency to try and disseminate propaganda within the United States, I mean, is there any clearer attack on democracy than that?
So when we were doing the Snowden reporting, one of the things that induced Edward Snowden to come forward as someone who had worked in the CIA and the NSA was his anger and horror that the tools of the NSA had been turned on the American people. They're supposed to spy on foreign adversary governments, but they weren't. They were collecting our phone records. Same with the CIA. They're trained disinformation agents. That's what they do. They lie for a living. But they're supposed to do that in other countries where we want to induce some sort of change, overthrow a government, topple a regime, whatever quote-unquote interference the U.S. government wants to do, the way we're also obsessed that Russia did in 2016. That's what they're trained to do. The law, though, and the obvious foundational prohibition on having a security state, a national security state after World War II, was it was never supposed to be turned domestically. They weren't supposed to be involved in our politics or disseminating propaganda. Go turn on any of those other cable networks or pick up the op-ed page of any of the biggest newspapers, and all you'll see are ex-members of the CIA, the DOJ, the FBI, the NSA, telling Americans what they ought to believe. They've infiltrated the means of communication domestically. They do it through leaks, they do it through clandestine operations, and through lies. They propagandize the American people in a way that is incredibly dangerous, no matter what your ideology is.
I totally agree. And I'm ashamed of the times that I made apologies for those agencies or this behavior. I really am. You are telling the truth. That's really clear. Glenn Greenwald, congratulations on getting out of there. Good to see you.
Thank you, Tucker. Appreciate it.
Greenwald, he grimaces when Tucker Carlson says congratulations for getting out of there, because certainly it's not something clearly he wanted to do. But again, at what point, and I go back to Pastor Niemöller's, at what point does facts, at what point do those begin to matter in our culture? And I tell you, it's if you see this and you're not concerned, it's like, what planet are you living? What planet are you living on? And I was reading the news this morning while I was laying in bed after I woke up, before I took a shower, which is my custom to glance at the news. And so I thought I would compose. And then I had a thought come to me. The headline for the first hour: how do we get to a world of fact-based reporting, reasoned opinions, and respectful, articulate discourse in a landscape dominated by social media and cancel culture? How do you get there? How do you get there when disinformation spreads at a rate six times as fast? How do you get there? And I mean, the social media companies aren't going to be reformed anytime soon. And the reason they're not going to be reformed anytime soon is because there is a union between the Democratic Party and social media. Social media is kind of the information arm of the Democratic Party. So you won't see people crossing aisles to do bipartisan reform of social media until it nails both parties. So I mean, to me, it's incredibly disturbing stuff that you see in the nation. This whole thing of censorship for political gain, right? And it would be one thing if you look at the way we censor, if you saw Facebook and Twitter, if you look at the way we censor just as much as their stuff as we do your stuff. This is how we break it down, just by political party. No other criteria. You could see it's virtually identical. But that's not the case. And again, I'll talk about it again. The Girl Scouts tweeted a message congratulating Justice Barrett as, I believe, the fifth woman to sit on the Supreme Court. And they had to take it down. They were annihilated by this disgusting thing, this cancel culture thing. They were annihilated by it. And so how do you deal with a mob? This now in the form of an electronic mob. How do you deal with that? How do we make that thing go away? Now, we're going to talk in the second hour to Greg Lotus today. And a story has broken in the last 48 hours about a kid. He's 18 years old now. When he was in eighth grade, he bullied a kid. The kid is a hockey player. He was drafted by the Phoenix Coyotes. The Phoenix Coyotes announced, I believe yesterday, that they were undrafting him. They were relinquishing their rights to him based on what they had learned that this kid had done when he was in eighth grade. When he was in eighth grade. So you are going to be have doors in life closed to you by virtue of what you did in eighth grade now? I mean, in juvenile court, don't they seal the records? I mean, you can, and then you try to get to those records and you can't get to them because they're sealed. And there's a racial element to this too. The kid that he was picking on was developmentally disabled in some way, and he was black. And he bullied him, and he admits to it, and he apologized. And so you get canceled as an 18-year-old for things you did in eighth grade now? So we'll ask Greg about that. But again, this stuff gets worse and worse by the day. Doesn't everybody, I mean, you have people that are murderers that get second chances. And in no way, shape, or form am I condoning anybody's abuse. I hate that. But in eighth grade? At the age of what, 13, 14 years old? You get canceled by what you did in eighth grade. It's amazing. I just find it amazing. So what they want, this kid, and the reason, you know, it'll be interesting Greg's opinion because Greg works with athletes that go to the University of North Dakota. This kid has signed up, I didn't know this until I read the article, to play hockey at the University of North Dakota. Their head coach in a statement said, We knew of the issues when we signed him to a letter of intent, and he will be part of our program. Well, the question is, how long will that last before more politically savvy people in the administration at the university say, yeah, the juice ain't worth a squeeze. Get that kid out of here. And so the opportunity to be a part of rehabilitating a kid, right, to show him, like, okay, this is the path that you have to walk down. You have to walk down a path where you volunteer, where you go speak in public, where you use this platform now to go talk to other young people that might be doing the same thing that you were doing. Maybe they're doing it online, blah, 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 blah. And you have to become a poster child for turning this around. Yeah, that's not. No, sorry. Sorry, that's not going to happen. I saw a quote from a guy who played hockey at the same school that this kid's name is Mitchell Miller. This guy's name is Brad Miller. Used to play NHL player for 11, now in the 11th season of pro hockey. Brad Miller is. He played at the University of North Dakota from 2005 to 2009. He does a podcast. The article contains a statement. UND, University of North Dakota, released a statement Monday that said, "We made a decision that our program could provide him the necessary infrastructure and culture to hone not only his hockey abilities, but most importantly, assist him in his continuing growth as a human being, which will last him the remainder of his life." Now, here's what Brad Miller, the hockey player, said. Quote, "I do think everybody deserves a second chance in life. I really do. He was young when all this stuff happened. I get that. But you're old enough to know right from wrong at 14 years of age. If you're bullying a handicapped kid when you're 14 years old and something in your head doesn't click that isn't right, I don't think you're ever going to figure it out. Do I think he needs to be banished from society and sent? So how does that jive with everybody gets a second chance, Brad? Do I think he needs to be banished from society and sent to the moon and left there until the end of time? No. Do I think he forfeits his right to get a college scholarship at the University of North Dakota? Yes. Do I think he forfeits his right to play in the NHL? Yes. Brad Miller went on to say, he's not in favor of canceling people for every little mistake, but this situation is not an example of that. So eighth grade. So what's next? We go down into like in fourth grade, you did this. And if race is a part of it, right? I'm sorry, you can't come back from that. I mean, what the hell have we become? Right? What the hell have we become? And then you have groups in our culture that are fighting for felons to be able to vote. So I struggle. I watch this stuff on a daily basis, not so much as a partisan, but in my opinion, I watch the ecosystem, if you will, and in the ecosystem, it's disturbing to watch this thing get crazier, more biased, in my opinion, more corrupt, more openly un-American in terms of censorship than I've ever seen in my life. And so the social media companies do it for money, for profit. Okay? Political parties do it for power. And it's the marriage of profit and power that fuels all of this. And I don't see how it changes anytime soon. Because I don't see Democrats acting to reform social media, because it is one of the pieces of their political power. Why? So, on that note, good morning to you. My concern. It is Friday. Whitney Houston sings the national anthem. Good morning to you. This is dedicated to Glenn Greenwald, who is an awesome example, I think, of what it is to stand up and try to speak the truth. And he has done that from his days with Edward Snowden. And he's a lefty, but he's an independent, fiercely independent guy. And this is dedicated to him, and hopefully more people will see him as something that we desperately need in this country, and they follow his lead.
You're betraying your whole life if you don't say what you think, and you don't say it honestly and bluntly.
What keeps you awake at night?
Nothing. I keep other people awake at night.
For this campus had prepared him well. I'm very confident that, thank you very much. If this was vodka, it'd be a lot better speech. But I'm not supposed to glamorize alcohol anymore, so young folks, you ignore what I just said.
We just have to execute. And we are executing every day, and Sergeant Major and I are very proud of what you do. Doesn't mean we can't get better. We don't want to make a mistake to learn. We don't want to lose to learn. We cannot lose if we have to go fight. We got to do what these Marines did here 75 years ago. Persevere against difficult, challenging conditions and odds and win. You got to win.
Time for us to check the weather from Churchbridge. Good morning from Churchbridge, Mac. Currently it is overcast with a southeast wind of 5 miles an hour and 28 degrees Fahrenheit. This afternoon, partly cloudy, winds out of the west at 46 miles an hour and a high of 37. Since 1886, basic training of Royal Canadian Mounted Police recruits has been carried out at Depot Division in Regina. Pictured is a troop wearing their red serge ceremonial uniform for the sunset ceremony. The sunset parade. We do that in the Marine Corps. The Mounties copying our shit. The Mounties have a great history, though. So, to Marineland we go. Currently in Quantico, it is cloudy and 52. Marine Corps Base Camp Lejeune, cloudy 67. 29 Palms warmed up. sunny in 62. Pendleton, sun in 58. That place warmed up too. Clear, dark in 69 in Hawaii. Dark, cloudy, and 68 in Okinawa. Into the southern hemisphere we go. Clear, dark, and 82 in Darwin. And Norway has gotten colder. Dark, cloudy, and 40 degrees already. That is a look at your weather. Ohio Man weighed in. Now, I tell you all the time before I read Ohio Man stuff, he's a conservative guy. Okay. But Ohio Man's pretty reasonable. Okay. He's not one of those, you know, doesn't see any other color but red. He's not that guy. All right. Even though he's a red guy. The email is entitled Current State. I am seeing Twitter blow up about confirmation that the DOJ has admitted that Hunter Biden and his contacts have been under money laundering investigations since December of 2019. I am somewhat skeptical of this, as one thing we've learned over the last 4 years is that the DOJ slash FBI doesn't publicly announce investigations, but perhaps someone is leaking it. NBC ran a story about some fictitious character producing a Hunter dossier in a clear attempt to throw shade on the current Hunter Bobulinski story that they and the rest of them won't report. I'm also seeing a lot of shade being thrown at Greenwald from the left and its sympathizers. They clearly hate him now. Yeah, once held up, right, The Intercept, which is the website that he founded, right, and here's Greenwald, right, outing the American government with Edward Snowden's information about domestic spying. These things that are only supposed to be, right, used overseas are being turned on the American people. Phone records, phone conversations recorded. Amazing stuff, right? Amazing stuff. I'm pretty tuned into current events, and I'm careful to study sources of breaking news so I'm not guilty of spreading bullshit, black helicopters notwithstanding. Never bought the Pizzagate thing. Yes, that's a dig at Doc Lynch. Tim yesterday said he bought the Pizzagate thing. Again, Adam Housley is a good fellow. His batting average is 1,000. He said the Durham investigation has uncovered corruptions on both sides, which predates Trump, and will not be dictated by the election calendar. Now, if Biden wins, does the swamp circle the wagons and kill the investigations? There are three separate federal prosecutors at work. My head is spinning. So that from Ohio, man. Here's another one. Mac, I'm kind of an anti-Trump conservative. I found this broke squelch for me, and I thought you would find it interesting. Did you see Michael Moore's comments? I did not. I saw a headline. Michael Moore, a little bit over the top for me. But he provided me with a link to a New York Post article. Now, I'll read you the headline. Michael Moore says Trump vote is always being undercounted. So I don't know if this is Michael Moore's attempt to get out more liberals to vote, but here's what he said. Filmmaker Michael Moore warned against underestimating President Trump in the election, saying in a new interview that the chief executive's vote is always being undercounted, which is interesting. The left-wing documentarist, I guess that's a term, who accurately predicted Trump's victory in 2016, talked about the incumbent recently cutting Democratic challenger Joe Biden's lead in polls in numerous states, including Moore's home state of Michigan. Don't believe these polls, first of all. Second of all, the Trump vote is always being undercounted. Pollsters, when they actually call a real Trump voter, the Trump voters are very suspicious of the deep state calling them and asking them who they're voting for. You know, I mean, how do you know that your statistical sample is representative of the population? How do you know that? By what people tell you in your poll? Well, I think if any poll you look at, what you read is people that support the president don't talk about it. Because he's such a douchebag, right? Right. In terms of, you know, I mean, people like me. You know, my response is when asked, do you support Donald Trump? I say, well, I'm a conservative. I can't support Joe Biden. So do I support Donald Trump? It's who I'm going to vote for. Do I endorse his mode of operation? No. But I'm a conservative. Where else would I go? So anyway, Michael Moore goes on. It's all fake news to them. Remember, it's not an accurate count. I think the safe thing to do, this is not scientific, whatever they're saying the Biden lead is, cut it in half right now, in your head. Cut it in half, and now you're within the 4-point margin of error, which is where he consistently was with Hillary Clinton. That's how close it is. That's how desperately close this is. Those are quotes. In August, Moore also predicted that Trump could pull off another win this year, thanks to the off-the-charts enthusiasm of his backers. So I guess we shall see. We shall see. But to me, what's more disturbing than all of this is this, and it's kind of this confluence of, you know, journalism taken aside, social media taken aside. And then, I mean, blatantly censoring people like Glenn Grunwald. I mean, that's amazing. They voted, and they're voting, that which was always kept separate now goes into the newsroom and impacts their ability to present to you factual information. Yeah, that's crazy. That's crazy, in my opinion. I had an awesome phone call with somebody yesterday. They were given my name. And so they were involved in some stuff in Pensacola that you've read about in the news, that shooting, and some other stuff. And I have to tell you, I tell you about my life, but I have these incredible experiences of people who call me, and they've done everything they're supposed to do, and it doesn't work. Now, I know I'm not really supposed to say this, but I'm going to say it because I'm reaching this conclusion, and I'm fighting it. It's going down the same road as I did before I said, hey, you know, you got to stop drinking if you struggle with trauma, if you struggle with life. Drinking is one of the things that fucks you up. Now, I struggled before I said that. I was like, oh, this is not gonna make anybody happy, right? I'm going to get canceled for saying stop drinking. But you know what? It was the truth, so fuck it. That was my ultimate conclusion. Now, my next conclusion is this. Most therapy is a waste of your time. Yeah, how about that? Now, I shouldn't say that because I don't mean to bag on therapists. And I do believe therapists are trying as hard as they can. But most of us don't have serious mental illnesses. We don't need the therapist. We need a mentor. We need a coach. We need somebody who puts their hand on our shoulder and says, okay, got to do these things. You can do this shit. We don't need to go sit on somebody's couch and be asked, how does that make you feel? 8,000 fucking times. That's not the path to a great life. What is it a path to? I don't fucking know. You know what? The fact that you love your mother and want to marry her? Some shit like that? I mean, good Lord. And so my conclusion is that, and I had this moment a few weeks ago when I saw a video that one of the former sergeant major of the Marine Corps put out. I'm not sure which one. It was Green or Kent. And they talked about it's okay to go to mental health. And what I wanted to scream was, they have gone to mental health, sergeant major. Don't you get it? Don't you talk to them? They've gone to mental health, and you know what they got? They got shit. Now, here's the problem with mental health. The problem with mental health is there's two pieces to it. There's the therapist or whoever, and there's the patient, and that shit's got to fit, and it doesn't fit most of the fucking time. And that was, you know, the young guy I talked to yesterday, you know, I'd been told he's going to call me a little bit about his background, but not very much. So he told me about him. And then I said, okay, let me just tell you something, man. This is where the fuck we're going. And so I tell him, I give him 5 minutes of post-traumatic winning, and he's like, holy shit, man. Holy shit. He said, I'm so excited to talk to you. So anyhow, just an awesome conversation with him yesterday. Hold on. Ohio man just lit my phone up again, or lit my inbox in. Polls. Congressman Debbie Dingell is saying the same thing. She doesn't believe the polls. Well, they did not acquit themselves very well last time. And there's you'll see a number of articles if you do any looking that say if they get this one wrong, they're out of business. They're out of business. And I've constantly thought, like, Trump people don't disclose that they're Trump people. They tend not to put signs in their front yard. Then they just go vote Trump. So we shall see, right? We shall see. And so really, the only states that matter are the swing states. Okay? That's all that matters. Like, you can have all this record voting in California. It does not matter in the presidential election. California's a done deal. That's why neither candidate has been in the state of California or the state of New York at all. They don't come here. They are duking it out in the swing states. Yeah. That's where it's happening. Duking it out in the swing states. So, so it goes. I don't know that I'll get to any news today. I just have to tell you, I'm incredibly disturbed at the direction of the country. And again, if you combine this shit, and again, Nancy Pelosi. Where the fuck is Nancy Pelosi? Where the fuck is Chuck Schumer? Where the fuck is Mitch McConnell? Right? Where the fuck is Kevin McCarthy when Philadelphia is burning down? To say, we have to stop this. Right? If you're an elected leader, you can't allow cities to be looted every time the cops exercise their right of self-defense. And the narrative can't be every time because it's not fucking true. Look at the videotape. Anybody who at all knows anything about self-defense and lethal force and deadly force looks at that and says, what the fuck were those cops supposed to do? They weren't given tasers by the Philadelphia Police Department. The dude runs at them with a knife. What the fuck are they supposed to do? Knife fight him? No. You're allowed to protect yourself in the execution of your duties. Now, if other people want to talk about, hey, well, the cops shouldn't have been sent there, they shouldn't have got out of their car, they should have left, they were told there's a guy who has a knife and he's menacing people. And so they went to protect people. That's why the fuck they got out of their car. They don't have social workers in Philadelphia to respond in cases like that. The city council didn't approve the money and the police did not get them tasers. But that's not the narrative you're seeing as part of Philadelphia burned down. And so this confluence of that kind of political burn it down, of ripping the speech up on national TV, of the court packing, of all this bullshit, and the confluence of social media, where the fuck does this take the nation? More of the same? And I have to tell you, if it's more of the same, and the average person looks at it and say, this is so fucking corrupt, when it comes in my direction, I've got an answer for that, and it's sitting over there in that fucking closet. You're going to see that answer around the country. But it's like nobody gives a shit. Nobody gives a shit. Because if it doesn't play to their political, the radical side of their party, Dianne Feinstein tells Lindsey Graham at the end of a hearing, thank you for the well-chaired hearings. And then at the end of it, she gives him a hug. She is excoriated. How dare you? How dare you? The Girl Scouts congratulate the fifth woman in the history of the nation to become a Supreme Court justice. How dare you? Right? How dare you? I don't agree with her politically. How dare you? And they roll. And now, right, what we'll talk about here with Greg in a few minutes is in eighth grade, as a 14-year-old, this kid did something fucking stupid. And now he's going to be canceled. And so the very people that could change his life are now saying, no, we won't do that. Sorry. Go find someplace else. It's fucking gross, man. And to me, it's quintessentially not American. Top five stories in early bird today. Trump meets with troops from al-Baghdadi raid during a Fort Bragg visit. That's number one. That's the top story in the DOD. What the fuck? Number two, top U.S. officials were briefed on an active threat against Pentagon leaders, according to five separate officials. And this is impossible retaliation to the U.S. military's killing of Iranian General Qasem Soleimani. So we'll see. Tell you what, if the Iranians want to fucking get their ass fucking ripped open, try some bullshit like that. Number three, UAE could get up to 50 F-35s in a $10 billion sale. Number four, India resists U.S. pressure to buy armed drones as Trump looks for foreign policy wins. Secretary Mike Pompeo was in Vietnam after leaving India. He and Secretary Esper have been in the Pacific and then to India, promoting closer U.S. Ties in the region. Number five, White House and Pentagon have no plan to exit Afghanistan by Christmas, according to key lawmakers. So, anyway, overseas operation? The UN is warning al-Qaeda is still heavily embedded with the Taliban in Afghanistan. And Marines and sailors to conduct Arctic exercise in Norway. The Marines and sailor of the Truffenhunden Battalion are preparing to conduct a bilateral Arctic warfare training alongside Norwegian troops, the Marine Corps announced. The battalion will quarantine for 2 weeks in Norway and then will participate in cold weather warfare and survival training led by Norwegian Army instructors, participate in a variety of field training events in rugged Arctic conditions alongside the Norwegian Army allies. Participate in Exercise Reindeer 2, a major exercise led by the Norwegian Army. Norway offers challenging terrain and unique training opportunities to improve our cold weather and mountain warfare skills, enabling our force to fight and win in Arctic conditions, said Lieutenant Colonel Ryan Gordonier, commander of 3rd Battalion, 6th Marines, the Truffenhunden Battalion. As they look forward to continuing our historic relationship and strengthening our alliance with the Norwegian military. Marine Rotational Force Europe 21 TAC-1 is expected to operate in Norway several times in the next year, with a large rotation scheduled in the early part of 2021. Yeah. I think my oldest, I don't think. In fact, that picture, there's a picture that looks like his nose, but I know it's not. Anyway, we'll take a break. More of All Marine Radio coming up next, right here on your home for Greg Lewis is going to join me as we continue this program. So don't touch that dial. More of All Marine Radio coming up next.
We used to get together every week. She's been home from her last deployment for months now, and I haven't seen her once.
He's just been different since he got back from Iraq.